this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2. Now, I'll be reading some scripture from 1 Kings and 2 Samuel, and then I'll be reading some New Testament scripture as well. I will invite you, though, to read 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A reading from 1 Kings, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies. As is written in the law of Moses, so you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn. Then the Lord will establish his word that he spoke according to me. If your heirs take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you successor on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, and how he dealt with the two commanders in the armies of Israel, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether, whom he murdered, retaliating in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and bent the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet. Act therefore accordingly to your wisdom, but do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace. Deal lowly, however, the sons of Brazio, the Gilead, and let them be among those who entered your table. With such loyalty they met me, and I fled from your brother Absalom. There is also with you Shimei, son of Gerah, the Benjaminite from Birmingham, who cursed me with terrible curse on the day when I went to Bahamian. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death with the sword. Therefore do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you must bring his gray hair down with blood to Sheol. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Well, we have finally come to the end of the journey with King David. You think way back in May, you know, we started off and he's just a shepherd boy. And now he's an old man. And we read 1 Kings, 2 Samuel, we see his last words. So first I'm going to look at what he said to his son Solomon. So Solomon's going to be king very soon. And listen to this. This is worth repeating. I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong. Be courageous. You know, not too long ago, we had a youth Sunday. We had the church that said about being courageous. And isn't that interesting? That's the same thing that Moses told Joshua. And then Joshua chapter 1, the Lord tells Joshua, no, be strong, be brave, be of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. It is always God's will that his people be strong and courageous. And what's the secret to this? It says, keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and testimonies, as written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn. Now, Solomon, if you want to prosper, you'll follow God's law and his commandments. And then he reminds Solomon what the Lord promised him. If your heirs take heed of their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a successor on the throne of Israel. So the Lord made a promise to David that he would always have a descendant on the throne. David, long as your descendants follow me with all their heart and soul, they'll be on the throne of Israel. Now, we know, unfortunately, that Solomon, at the end of his life, made some terrible mistakes and sinned greatly, and judgment came upon him. But we see the fulfillment of this prophecy ultimately not through Solomon or through any of the grandkids or great-grandkids or great-great-grandkids. We see it way down the line, hundreds of years later, when an angel tells Mary, "He shall give birth to a son. He shall be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." The ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy was not found in Solomon, but it was found in the birth of Jesus, whose birth we're beginning to celebrate here in just a few weeks. And then in the next few verses, it kind of sounds strange to us, doesn't it? It sounds like some off the Godfather, you know? He's dying, says, "Now, by the way, Solomon, there's some folks you need to worry about. First of all, is General Joab. Joab said he murdered and retaliated in a time of peace for blood that had been shed in war." You may recall months ago where I was telling the story where David had a peace deal set out between him and the son of King Saul, and Abner broke that peace deal by shedding innocent blood. And David had not forgotten about that. Anytime people shed innocent blood, there is a price to be paid for that. We're seeing that right now over in the Middle East, when the people at the music festival were rejoicing, minding their own business, and all once they were attacked, slaughtered, and kidnapped. And now that particular terrorist group is wondering why the Israeli army is on their doorstep. Well, that's why. You shed blood during a time of peace. And then he says, "Now, by the way, I want you to deal kindly with these sons of Barzillai. Let me eat your table, because they looked after me during the time I fled from Absalom, your brother. On the other hand, you remember old Shimei. He's the one who cursed me and threw rocks at me and dirt at me, called me the son of the devil, and said I was a bloody man. You need to watch him, keep your eye on him." And then it said David died, and he reigned 40 years, 7 in Hebron as partial king, and then 33 in Jerusalem as king of all the territory. And if we flip back to 2 Samuel, I want to read to you what David's last words were. This is where he's on his deathbed at this point. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 23. "Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David and Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. And David said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me, the word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming for the rain in a grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant, ordering all things to secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch one uses an iron bar or the shaft of the spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot." And so David dies with words of praise on his lips, giving God the praise and the glory. Now, I know some folks will say, how is it you talk about giving God the praise and glory? After the past few Sundays, you talk about how David's gotten so much trouble. That is true. He got in trouble with the time with Bathsheba and when the time he did that census. But remember, though, David reigned 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. He reigned for 40 years. In 40 years, He messed up twice. Now, you think about us and our presidents. If we can find a president who can last 4 years without messing up twice, we'd be happy, wouldn't we? David reigned 40 years. And most of those years were time of peace and prosperity. Only twice he got himself in trouble because of a great sin. And so when David looked back on his life, what did he think? He thought, I remember being a shepherd boy out in Bethlehem by myself, the sheep. And I'm so grateful that when the lion and the bear showed up, the Lord was with me and delivered me from their hand. I was able to kill that bear and that lion and rescue my sheep. And then there came that day when some of the servants called for me to come inside the house, and I didn't know what was going on. And then I realized that there in the living room was Samuel the prophet. And he saw me. He said, this is the one. He had me kneel before him, and he poured oil on my head and said, this is to be the king of Israel. And I remember all my big brothers looking at me like, what's all that about? And then I remember during a time of war, I was playing gopher. My dad, Jesse, said, son, take some of this bread and cheese and go check on your big brothers on the battlefield, see how they're doing. I got there just in time to hear a big old giant named Goliath boasting and bragging about how nobody could take him on. And I opened my big mouth and said, who is this Philistine to insult the Lord our God? And big brother got on my case. And what are you doing here? You should be back home with your few sheep. And I ended up talking to the king himself, King Saul. And at first he tried to give me all this heavy armor. And I said, king, I can't use this. I just need my sling and my rocks. He said, boy, that giant's going to pin you down. I said, no, sir. I once got attacked by a lion, got attacked by a bear. I'm 2 for 2. And after I meet that giant, I'll be 3 for 3. For the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear is on my eyes, will deliver me from this giant. And I went out there, but I got quiet in the Israelite outside. And the guy said, boy, what do you think you're doing? Think I'm some stray dog? I'm going to pin you to the ground. And I said, you come out with a spear and a sword, but I come here in the name of the Lord. And I took him down, killed him. And the Lord gave Israel a great victory. And then I remember after the battle, Prince Jonathan came to me. And he taught me how to use a sword and gave me his own sword and his own robe, his own shield. He taught me how to become a warrior. And then at this time, King Saul was having some issues in his life, and demonic spirits were after him. But I would go into his tent and play my harp and sing my songs about how the Lord is my shepherd, I shall and won't. And when I did that, the evil spirit would up and leave. And then I got to marry the princess. Life is good. And the next thing I knew, my father-in-law was mad at me. And I was on the run for all these years. And I almost made some terrible mistakes. One time, I was about to kill this stupid old farmer. But his wife, Abigail, came to me and said, sir, I know you'll be the king, but do not shed innocent blood while you're in the outrage. And I said, bless you, woman, for it was a story about the Lord you spoke to me. And during that time, my friend Jonathan was looking out for me. And then, by God's grace, I ended up with the Philistines unharmed, and they actually had great respect for me. And then came that terrible day when the Philistines, their lots fall, and I couldn't fight either way. And I heard that King Saul had died, and Jonathan, my best friend, been killed in battle. And I thought about all those times I could kill Saul myself, and I said, I don't do it. If he's to die, he's to die of his own, by the Lord's hand. And then set up my kingdom, and I started off with the kingdom in Hebron. And then when Saul's son was murdered, I took the whole kingdom. By God's grace, captured Jerusalem, made it the capital, and brought the Ark of the Covenant. And I messed up on that because I wasn't paying attention to the law of Moses. And for a while there, we kept the ark and kept in the house of God. And then when I realized the proper way the ark should be treated, brought the ark up to Jerusalem. And there I was, rejoicing and dancing. I was so excited to have the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. And then I wanted to build a temple. But the Lord said, don't build a temple now, because you're a man of war. Let your son, a prince of peace, build it during a time of peace. And then when I had it all, I messed up, though. One night I saw a beautiful lady taking a bath, and asked too many questions, had her brought to the palace. She became pregnant, and then I tried to lie about it. The Lord has sent the prophet Nathan to make me aware of how badly I've sinned in adultery and murder. But God, in his goodness and grace, when I said, I have sinned against the Lord, forgave me and gave me a clean slate. I asked for a clean heart, a new right spirit he gave within me. And because of that, I had experienced some heartaches. I experienced the heartache of a son raping my daughter, another son killing that son out of vengeance. And then that son left, and then came back, and then he led a great rebellion. And then I had to see him be killed in the battlefield. And then I messed up again when I wept and cried out loud when I should have been thanking my soldiers for a battle well fought. And then on another occasion, I messed up again when in my pride, I decided to count the people of Israel. And for punishment, the Lord sent a plague. But as the plague came near Jerusalem, I asked the Lord for mercy. I said, don't attack them, the sheep. I'm the shepherd. I alone am guilty. And God, in his goodness and mercy, spared the city of Jerusalem. And so when I look back on my life, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give me. The blessing of being honored, being your soldier, your shepherd, and place me on the throne of Israel. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings. I can die in peace, for you have been faithful to me. When I wasn't faithful to you, you were faithful to me. Now, wouldn't it be great to come to the end of your life and be like David, have a song of praise in your mouth? You know, we had a little discussion earlier about how it's like we just jump from Halloween to Christmas, don't we, nowadays? But it's good to give the Lord the thanks and the praise. And I want to tie this in what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. Now, remember, he wrote this letter while he was in Rome under house arrest. And this is chapter 4. Verse 6, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here is a man under house arrest, waiting trial, and he's saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And in those prayers, with supplication and thanksgiving, the key word is thanksgiving, tell the Lord what you're thankful for. Let your request be known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, peace I leave you, not as the world gives, but as I give. How we get this peace? We give it through our prayers. Prayers of supplication and thanksgiving. And so my question to you is, when the last time you sit down and you just thank the Lord for all the blessings in your life? Your salvation, you've been forgiven. Your health, your home, your family, your friends. That's the ability to walk outside, enjoy the sunshine. And I'll close with a little poem I first heard back on VHS tape. Remember those? It was a Bill Gaither video. Went in homecoming. had J.D. Sumner, and he was a 6'2", tall and lanky, had that real low voice, and he was a gospel singer, and he was a good buddy of Elvis, who was a role model. And I remember when I first heard it, I thought, man, that's beautiful. He says, I was walking along down an old dirt road when I saw a farmer in the field just hoed. His face was browned and wrinkled from the wind. And he's talking to the Lord like he would an old friend. Evening, Lord, he said, in a voice calm and quiet. This corn needs stacking. They ain't got no string to tie it. And the grass on that field, Lord, ought to be knee high. If we can just have a shower or two, might keep the cow from going dry. And Lord, it's been so unbearably hot and dusty. Why, even the kids are beginning to get fussy. Ah, but listen to me talk, Lord. You might think I was hateful. If you didn't know me so well, Lord, you might think I was just downright ungrateful. That I wasn't thankful for the calf that you sent and the money that came in the mail to help catch up the rent. And last week, when Johnny came home from the Navy, and that sunny dinner with chicken and dumplings and gravy. Well, Lord, I better mose along, and I'll take up any more of your time. I'm sure there's a heap of folks ready to ring your line. So evening to you, Lord, look over us all the night, and don't you go worrying about us. Because we'll be just all right. How'd that farmer do that? Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. This time, I invite you to open your red Methodist hymnal, okay, to page 370. And I actually left the song in from last week, but I was trying to think of a hymn about giving God the praise. That'd be a good invitational hymn as well. And it hit me, the song Revive Us Again, you know, where we thank God for the blessings of Jesus in the land of slain.